Okay, so now we have these three agents that are now available, and maybe you can talk a little bit about how they're currently being integrated into practice. And I guess one of the real interesting questions here, you mentioned that last year we saw the approval finally of bevacizumab in the platinum-sensitive situation, so the early, relapse. And then the question comes up, do you give chemo and bevacizumab and then bevacizumab maintenance, or do you give chemo and then follow that up with a PARP inhibitor, niraparib, for example? Can you talk about right now how you and other physicians in the field are kind of thinking through that choice? And what about using bevacizumab and a PARP inhibitor?
I can tell you about my approach. I think that there's no right or wrong answer here, so you're going to see a lot of different possible approaches. In terms of the use of niraparib, since it's approved for all comers in the platinum-sensitive setting, I plan on using the complementary diagnostic tool. The Myriad HRD test, I think, will be very useful. While we do evaluate hazard ratios in terms of the studies, and that's the right metric in terms of evaluating these different drugs against each other, I also want to consider the magnitude of effect. And so when you have a patient who has a BRCA 1 or 2 mutation, or you have a patient who has homologous recombination defects, their magnitude of benefit from continuing on this drug platform is pretty significant. And no one has compared this head-to-head to a PARP maintenance strategy versus a BEV maintenance strategy, but I would have to think that it's going to be a greater benefit for a patient who has the mutation or HRD to be on a PARP inhibitor compared to an anti-angiogenic strategy. So in those patients, it's easy for me in terms of the pathway I would go toward PARP inhibitors. In the patients who are negative for the biomarker, those patients who had a 3-month benefit with niraparib, I would strongly consider a bevacizumab approach. So that's what's really changed dramatically what we do in the clinical setting. And I believe it's been transformational. Instead of wanting to know what someone's tumor status was or genetic testing was for the purpose of prognostic for the patients, other screening tests that they should have, cascade testing for family members, now it's, I need to know what's going on in your tumor so I can make a treatment decision. And that's why these tests are useful to let us know, do they have a BRCA 1 or 2 mutation? Is it somatic? Is it genetic may come later, but is it there is the important thing. Is this a patient who has HRD positive tumor? Are they going to benefit from a PARP inhibitor versus an anti-angiogenic strategy? And then you raise the question of what about both? What about both? I don't think we know the answer to that yet, but it's undergoing evaluation in several trials currently. Strategies where they're combining bevacizumab with chemotherapy followed by bevacizumab and PARP inhibition together versus bevacizumab only. So there's a lot of different combinations that we could choose here.
What about that strategy of combining bevacizumab and a PARP inhibitor outside of trial? Is that something you would consider?
I wouldn't do it at this point. There's a lot of studies that are actively evaluating this.